Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. A real pleasure to have you with us as this time where we're many of us, most of us are still locked down and we are in this quarantine and we are social distancing. It is a real pleasure and a delight and an opportunity to come together and to be with each other through this program. And we love it. And we love that you are a part of it. It's very special to us. And we hope and certainly are hearing from you that it's special to you as well. And we love that very, very much. We made it through another week. And here we are on a Friday. And we're going to make the most of this day. And I just want to give you a little bit of an idea of what we're going to work on today. Obviously, we have a wonderful panel. We're going to talk about the issues of the day, as we always do. We had just an incredible, amazing day yesterday in raising money. I don't know how else to put it. Alan, I usually introduce you at the last so we can get started, but I'll start with you today. I mean, yesterday was just unbelievable.
Well, you know, I've been here since 1979, and I've never seen anything like it. Never.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it made all of our hearts zing and made us even more appreciative, if that's possible, of our audience than we were up until now. We never should lose faith in the fact that our people have values that are fantastic.
We just not to I tell this just as the truth, not as a bragging point, but it was about $138,000 in 1 hour and 40 minutes yesterday. So it was really incredible.
There's a guy who wrote in, Joe, and he said, "Do you realize you've just made $100,000 in an hour?"
and he was right. And we didn't really fully realize it at that time, but we do now. And here's the deal. Basically, what we have to tell you this morning, right now in our lockbox, we started, you know, at the beginning of the week on Monday. And the whole idea, of course, was that our fund drive begins on June 1st. So normally, a month before May 1st, in this case, we start and we open up the lockbox and we do all the normal things. Well, the outpouring has been so amazing that it is quite possible that this drive, as we know it, because we really can't have a normal one with all the volunteers in the room and because of social distancing and so forth, that we could be done early next week. So right now in the lockbox, we have $723,330, which is...
Say that one more time, Joe.
$723,330.
Wow.
So it's really amazing and it's incredible. So we have two amazing things that we're going to talk about this morning. One we're going to do in the 9 o'clock hour, one we're going to do in the 10 o'clock hour. And yesterday we had a $50,000 challenge yesterday, which was up because we had been having $30,000 challenges, but we kept on meeting them really early. So we made it a $50,000 challenge, and we made that challenge in about 35 minutes yesterday. So this morning, for each hour, we're going to do a $25,000 challenge. And what we're going to do is talk about some really, really incredible things. And we begin in our first hour in talking about the issue of homelessness and talking about the opportunity to help the homeless in our region. Yesterday, we were talking about food insecurity. We'll be talking about that again today. But we are going to talk about the homeless, and we're going to talk about a wonderful group called Family Promise of the Capital Region who helps house the homeless. And so I want to introduce everybody, and then we'll get into the pitch here and we'll get started. Just know that that's where we're headed this morning, and we so love you and appreciate what you're doing. Alan, before I get to everybody, just remind people how they can be a part of this.
Well, as you and I and everybody else knows, because this becomes imprinted on everybody's brain, there are three ways to do it. The way we want you to do it is to go on WAMC.org, and that's because we don't have the usual cadre of 19 volunteers. We have 9 great staff members who are standing by and willing to do something and can do something, but people get annoyed, and we don't want that to happen. So because, you know, sometimes you get held up. So the telephone number is 1-800-323-9262. If you can use it and you need to use it and that's the way you want to do it, you can do it. But realize that we're going to be a little bit slow. If you want immediate gratification, as we say, you go to WAMC.org. Again, let me say it one more time. WAMC.org on your device or your computer or your handheld. Again, WAMC.org. That's our preferred way because the money goes right in. You can write any kind of message you want. You know, it's really a pretty good way of doing it until we can get back to normal. And we really appreciate your sticking with us and understanding that. And then finally, there's good old 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. Although I have to say that President Trump, who doesn't like the post office, has just named one of his sycophantish guys to be the head of the post office, and we don't know what that's going to portend, but it can't be good. But it's right while it lasts, 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. Back to you, Joe.
We're pretty sure for today and tomorrow, weekend, we're if you mail your letter, it'll get to us. Well, we thank you all very much. So let me introduce the group to you. First of all, we welcome the wonderful Judith Eng to the program, senior fellow and visiting professor at Bennington College, founder of Beyond Plastics, former EPA regional administrator. Good morning. Hello. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning. Congrats on this fundraising accomplishment. I know we're not there, but very impressive.
Well, thank you.
And Megan, I just say we don't deserve the congratulations. The people who gave the money deserve the congratulations.
Yes, because believe that's me, what I meant.
I know you did. Donors. I know you did, and it's beyond us. You know, Joe and I can work pretty hard on this kind of thing, and Ray and everybody else. But Sarah and Selma. But the fact of the matter is, we've never seen anything like this.
No, this is
we've just never
this
seen
is the one
like
thing
this.
That doesn't belong. But it's quite lovely. It shouldn't be. Yeah, it shouldn't be like this.
It's
but
the,
it is
the silver lining of our situation. There are so many silver linings.
I guess
people coming together.
And what a perfect segue. Speaking of silver linings, we have the wonderful Jim Ketterer with us, the Bard Center for Civic Engagement Senior Fellow and Dean of the School of Continuing Education at the American University, Cairo. Good morning, Jim Ketterer. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, and I'm so happy to hear that things are going so well for the support for the station. I think it's people responding to, you know, the constant attacks on the press, on the rule of law, on the free flow of reasonable information, and they're speaking in a way that really counts.
Absolutely, and it's really. I'm sorry, Alan. Were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to ask Jim if he would, because we certainly have some people of Arabic distinction in our audience, and maybe you could say something in that language for us.
Sabah khair. Good morning,
oh, all right.
Everyone. And
you can keep. You can stick to.
I think that we also have people listening to us from all over the world. I know
we
that.
We know
when
that.
I've been in Egypt, I've been able to listen in to WAMC, and so I'm sure they are. I'm sure people are listening in many languages, and you know, in many parts of the world. And
nicely done, and I apologize.
Good information.
Nicely done, I apologize. In the attempt of humor, I did something, and
that's all
maybe
good.
It wasn't the smartest thing in the world. Yeah.
All right. So we want to make $25,000 this hour, and how are we going to do that? Well, we are partnering, and this is with a wonderful organization. Their name is Family Promise, and they are a I will let Mary talk about this. Mary Giordano is executive director of Family Promise of the Capital Region. And before I officially introduce Mary, let me just say what we're doing this morning is we want to help. We want to help people with this homeless situation in our region. So the way we're doing that is for every $100 pledged to WAMC, that will trigger the funds from the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to allow Family Promise to provide emergency assistance to a homeless family or a family at serious risk of homelessness. And this is really where it gets I mean, this is amazing of what they do. Help comes in the form of temporary monetary assistance to meet rent and mortgage obligations, pay for unanticipated medical and dental expenses, secure safe transportation, or purchase needed food, school supplies, uniforms, or prescription medicines. That is an amazing thing that you can do this morning. We have 300 opportunities to help people, and we hope that every one of them go in the next hour, because it's so important that we help. There are many, many challenges facing homeless shelters across this country. We'll get into those in just a moment. But whatever we can do locally to help is vitally important. Again, $100 pledged to WAMC, that triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to make the funds available to Family Promise to provide emergency assistance to a homeless family or a family at serious risk of homelessness. Again, Mary Giordano is Executive Director of Family Promise of the Capital Region. Mary, what a pleasure to have you on the program. Good to have you back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Joe. It's a true pleasure to be with everyone this morning.
All right. So tell us a little bit about what you do at Family Promise, and then I'm going to ask you the big question of how things have changed after, say, May 10th of this year.
Sure. Well, our primary mission is to shelter homeless families. I believe we are the only privately funded shelter program within Albany County. So we're able to help families as they come to us that we feel are going to be well served by our program. We have been in existence since April of 2015, founded by Father Frank O'Connor, who's a Catholic priest, who really wanted to see a Family Promise affiliate in the local area. There are actually 200 across the country. Some are privately funded, some are not. Some are contracted shelters with their local Department of Social Services. We have been very fortunate to be able to keep our program going with private funding. And we've really been blessed with incredible congregations. We actually have 13 congregations that provide overnight shelter and support, typically to 2 to 4 homeless families at one time, depending on the size of the family. The congregations actually take space they use for, let's say, religious education or meetings, whatever it may be. It could be a choir practice room. And they convert it so that each of the families can have a private room for an entire week. They're not there during the day, but they arrive at about 5 o'clock on our van. And when they arrive, there are, you know, parishioners or congregants from the congregation that's hosting them who have dinner with them. And these are trained volunteers by our organization. And those folks bring in a nice dinner from home. They take into account things like what the families want to eat, what they like, their food allergies. And then after dinner, about maybe an hour or so later, we switch volunteers. And we have volunteers that will come in and visit with the parents, play games with the kids, help them with their homework. And then those volunteers leave. And believe it or not, we have overnight volunteers. It's generally a man and a woman, also all trained, who also stay overnight. And if the families need anything, they need an extra blanket, you know, they can go and knock on the door where the volunteer is sleeping, and it can be provided to them. Very early in the morning, there's a quick breakfast. The families come back to our day center, which is located at 738 New Scotland Avenue. It's the former parsonage of Bethany Reformed Church. It's an absolutely beautiful home, and it's been repurposed for our program. Our offices are there, but more importantly than that, we have 2 full bathrooms, laundry facilities, a kitchen, and this is where the families are 365 days a year during the day. That's where the kids go to school. Generally, the buses are coming and picking them up. The parents are able to pretty much walk right outside the door. And if they don't have a car, they can, you know, hop on the bus and get to work. And then at the end of the day, they return to the day center. They, you know, we visit with them. And when they're not working, we're providing case management. We're trying to solve all of the underlying issues that have resulted in homelessness. And we're trying to repair as much as we can. You know, we always say we have a slowdown program. We're not looking to necessarily rapid rehouse, but to solve the underlying issues. It could be health care that's a problem. It could be that they really need someone to talk to. You know, they need a therapist, or they have a child that has autism and they're not getting the support they need. So we try to really fix as much as we can and then help them with budgeting. And then, you know, the fun part is they get a job and then we start looking for housing. And it's really remarkable. And all these volunteers and all these congregations, because it rotates. So church that hosts for a week, they're done. The next church takes over, have formed partnerships. And these families are just loved by all these volunteers who truly love making a difference in their lives.
So let me ask, we're up against a break here, so I just need if you can just give me just a quick idea of, how have things changed in the result of, I know I've been reading so much about homeless shelters because you're obviously putting a lot of people into one place. So how have you had to change as a result of COVID?
Well, we were determined to stay open. That was the first thing. And we knew that we couldn't send the families to the congregation, to the churches anymore. So we decided to turn our day center into a day and night center. And we have the families staying there right now. And we are having our volunteers doorstep dropping the dinner. The whole congregation that we'll be hosting is actually coming and bringing the meal to the back door. The families are waving out the door. We're even telling them not to ring the doorbell. Somebody's going to open the door. We know when it's coming.
Yep.
And then we're having other volunteers come with groceries, and it's worked out very well.
Alan, you had a question?
Very quickly, I just want to make sure everybody understands, as I do, that there is not a religious qualification because there's so many religious groups behind this. Is open to everybody,
you're
right?
You're interfaith, right?
That is correct. Yeah. That is very important, Alan. I really appreciate you bringing that up. You know, we do not proselytize in any way. Our volunteers are simply there, you know, to be supportive of the families and help them get back on their feet.
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262. $100 to WAMC triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to make the funds available to Family Promise of the Capital Region to provide emergency assistance to a homeless family or a family at serious risk of homelessness. This is really what you should know about what they do. Help comes in the form of temporary monetary assistance to meet rent and mortgage obligations, pay for unanticipated medical and dental expenses, secure safe transportation, or purchase needed food, school supplies, uniforms, or prescription medications. I do want to mention, I forgot one major thing here, Alan, in the 45 seconds that we have left. We also have a major challenge. Do you have that in front of you, or would you like me?
I do.
Okay, great.
I did anyway. Look, some incredible things have happened here, and we've heard from a whole bunch of people. Let's put it this way. I've just lost it for some strange reason, being that's the way it is, Joe. Three people came forth and wanted to give us $1,000, including my neighbor, David Corkery. Wanted to give us $1,000 if we could make this challenge. It would be great if we could do that, and then we'll see where we go, right? Because you never know who's going to come up with even more money than
you
that.
Never know. $3,000 on the table right now. We need you to call 1-800-323-9262. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We'll talk more about this issue, and we'll move on to other issues as well. 1-800-323-9262. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262, and WAMC.org, Alan Chartok.
Joe, early this morning, I took my usual fairly long walk, several miles, and it was coldish out there. I want you to know the thought of having a child or a family having to be out in that cold overnight, and this isn't the worst of it. So this is really, to put it mildly, a terrific thing that is being done here. And so I know our people understand that. They can project themselves into what that must be like, and what a wonderful thing it would be to make this thing happen and explain it again, Joe, for every $100 somebody gives.
So it's we've already made $7,000, which is great. We just, for every $100 pledged to WAMC, that triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to make the funds available to Family Promise, who will provide emergency assistance to a homeless family or a family at serious risk of homelessness and see them through their time of need. Again, great challenges with the with homeless shelters throughout the country and certainly in this region, and great need and whatever we can do to help. And it's something that is vital, and our community coming together to help people. Mary, give us a sense. I mean, you know, one of the things that Alan just mentioned, I think, is key in this when we talk about families, is we do have kids. Kids are very much a part of this equation, aren't they?
Absolutely. And it is about the children. And it's very difficult for them right now. It's not only that they're not able to go to school, but for many of these kids, that was the constant thing in their life. That was where they had their stability. You know, when you lose your home, it's heartbreaking, but school doesn't change. You know, your teachers, your classroom teachers there, and that special person, you know, or that special friend, and having that human contact on a daily basis, it's really lost. And you can't quite replace it. People think, you know, well, you can go online and sure. And we're really very fortunate. We can go online and we can, you know, keep this ball going and education continuing. But you can see the sadness, I believe, in the kids, you know, as we look at them. You know, we provide extras. We have volunteers bringing, you know, a special toy here and there. And we're lucky to have a backyard to play in. But it's not the same thing.
Right.
And it's not like we can tell them when it's going to end. You know, it's challenging.
Well, you know, Joe, this message must have meant an awful lot because all of a sudden, Anonymous of Springfield, Massachusetts is coming up with an additional amount for the challenge. We already had $3,000 in there. Anonymous of Springfield, Massachusetts says, okay, we'll give you $5,000 if you can do this in this hour. So how much do we have to go? So in other words, right now on the table, Joe, is $8,000, $5,000 from Anonymous of Springfield, Mass. And in case anybody's wondering, $5,000 is a lot of money.
Now, and this is this for the and we probably should have talked about this prior, Alan, but is this is this for the whole hour or is this for the whole time we're together this morning?
No, just this hour, Joe.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. That's the way that's the way
that's fine.
Presented.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Good, good. So I just wanted to make sure. So we are about $11,000 away from that. And we need to make that. So 1-800-323-9262, $8,000 on the table.
23 minutes to do it.
Yes.
23 minutes
yes, sir.
To do it. $11,000. That's what, 110 people saying, okay, I get a double whammy. I hate poverty. I hate poverty and I hate what this represents. I love WAMC. I'm going to do everything in my power to help WAMC, but also, more importantly, much more importantly, to get people off the streets and to do what we have to do in order to save them, because we can all project ourselves into this, especially now.
1-800-323-9262. We do have some folks on the phone, and we would love for you to do it online, WAMC.org, or you can do it the good old-fashioned way. Put a check into an envelope, 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206, 12206.
And just in case, Joe, what's that telephone number?
1-800-323-9262. I usually wouldn't do this. I'm just going to do this for just because it's bothering me and I want to do it, and I will probably regret it the minute I do it. But here we go. We got a letter from a listener who says, please stop saying you're not doing a fund drive. You are doing a fund drive. You are just not doing it the usual Alan screeching about being on the verge of extinction. Operators are standing by way. You're still truncating programming and asking for money. I expect more. I believe in public radio, including WAMC. Just don't be so annoying and disingenuous about your pitch. Now,
so let's take a look, Joe.
So let's unpack that.
Yes. let's unpack this unhappy individual.
Yes.
I mean, it's so infuriating that I have to just say, with everything that we saw yesterday, with all the wonderful people who did something, we always have somebody who says, well, I'll find a reason for not being a happy person, and they are doing that. You know what? I have to shut up now because my blood is boiling.
Well, the thing I would just like to point out is we said from the very beginning, we have to do it this different way. We can't do it the normal way. No one said we're not doing a fund. We're not doing a typical fund drive. We're doing it this way. And I think we've been very clear about that. We've been telling you exactly where we are. And quite frankly, over a matter of just a few days of doing it this way, in an hour and a half yesterday, or close to an hour and 45 minutes, 140,000. But since Monday, $723,000. I'm only saying that it's. But think of all of the rest of the day where we are not coming to you at all.
Oh.
It's this time, and that's all I'm saying.
Okay, that's all you're saying. I'm going to say one more thing. I agree with you.
Yes.
You shouldn't have read it. And I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to tell you why.
Yes,
you
sir.
Get one stinker, and that's the word I'm using, and you get thousands of people putting their money and their efforts and their guts into this, and we let that guy have what he wants.
Yeah.
And we know what that is, which is dissonance.
Well, and I just
it's infuriating.
The only other thing I want to say about it too is that I remember what was the Cuomo line about kicking down the barn? What is that?
Any jackass can kick down a barn.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Okay. Back to being happy. 1-800-323-9262 1-800. Sorry to throw you in the middle of that, Mary. I apologize.
Oh, that's quite all right.
1-800. I'm sure you never have anyone complaining at your place of business. 1-800-323-9262 1-800-323-9262 WAMC.org. Look, you can take us to task, but if you're going to be mad at us for trying to raise awareness of the homeless problem in the region and to raise money for this radio station and also to help a very worthwhile organization and help house people who are in desperate need, well, then guilty as charged. Sorry. 1-800-323-9262 1-800-323-WAMC. Mary, in just a few minutes, and then I promise I'll let you go do the good work that you continue to do. But what is, when you look at this overall, of we're doing it this new way, you're obviously seeing more people, right? I mean, the numbers even today,
yes,
of people out of work, and that extrapolates to homelessness. And so how do you even get ready for something like that?
Well, that's the big question right now. You know, we know that there's been, you know, let's say hold off on the rents, you know, but that doesn't mean that the landlord isn't going to expect those rents and those rent payments coming, you know, in August. So we have 16 local families we've helped. We call them our graduated families, and we're very concerned about them. And we are actually doorstep dropping supplies for them, so they're not getting on a bus, for example, to go get diapers or going on the bus to get something that we can provide. So we contact them a couple times a week, and we stop in, and we drop things off. We wave at the window. We communicate that way. But we know that, you know, there will possibly be a time when they're going to have difficulty with that rent, and so we're going to step in. You know, we've had 100%. Any family we found an apartment for and got them in, they've never been evicted again. And that's because even before this pandemic, once a family graduates, we stay with them. You know, we check in all the time. We make sure that they're, you know, staying on their feet. If they need a little bit of help, let's say with something like, you know, the National Grid bill was higher, you know, maybe there was a problem getting heat, whatever it may be. You know, we had one family, you know, their daughter had an emergency appendectomy. And this was right when the virus, and they were trying to discharge her from the hospital quickly, and they needed a lot of help. And I can reach out to these volunteers, and they respond immediately. You know, we're just very fortunate to be in a community that is so giving.
I want to, you know, we unfortunately spent some time on a negative letter. Alan, we have some wonderful comments, too, that I'd love for you to read that came over about 9:36. And telling us about their support. And while you find those, I just want to remind people, first of all, we're about $8,000 away from where we need to be, which is great. We have about 17 minutes to do it in. For every $100 pledged to WAMC, Family Promise will provide emergency assistance to a homeless family or a family at serious risk of homelessness. Help comes in the form of temporary monetary assistance to meet rent, mortgage obligations. That's incredible. Pay for anticipated medical and dental expenses, secure safe transportation or purchase needed food, school supplies, uniforms, or prescription medications. So for everyone,
and the main thing is get them off the road,
get them
out of the cold. I mean, you know, everything else is great, very, very important, believe me. But the idea that somebody has got to be outside in this cold and in this weather is extraordinary, and we have to do something. Joe, I found these wonderful comments.
Terrific.
We love the roundtable and listen every day. We're happy to do what we can to support the station and Family Promise. Scott and Denise of Loudonville. Thanks for being here is another letter for us every day. We love you and depend on you for real news. You're the best in broadcasting. Love from Ralph and Elsa in Marlboro. And a final letter that we have here of among the many. Thank you for the Seymour Fox Foundation for supporting Family Promise of the Capital Region. As a volunteer, I can tell you it is a very worthy charity and offers a model of combating family homelessness that is individualized and effective. Also loves WMC programming, especially during this fraught time in our nation's history, and that's Adele from Albany. Okay, Joe, over to you.
All right.
How much do we need, Joe?
We need about $6,500, $6,500, and we'll make the goal, and we'll help a lot of people, and that's what we need to do. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262. Please do whatever you can. We only have 15 minutes left. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. Mary, I'm going to let you go and go back to the work you do. I've already kept you longer than I anticipated. I can't thank you enough for being with us, to explaining to us what it is that you do, and for working with us on this very important goal. It's just an honor, and thank you for the beautiful work you do for the community, and we're just honored to be a part of it. And
thank you, Joe.
And hopefully we won't let you down.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Alan, and best of luck to you with this incredible fun drive. And you know, I'm very grateful personally for your station. You know, I'm very grateful and for all that you do, and for allowing all these organizations to showcase this during the pandemic. It's really wonderful.
Thank you very much. Mary Giordano is Executive Director of Family Promise of the Capital Region. Mary, thank you very much. So nice to have you. All right.
And Joe, one more thing. Just thank you to not only Mary and her wonderful group, but also to the Seymour Fox Foundation, because, you know, they are making this happen with incredible support, and we are so thankful to them.
We really are. We only have about 14 minutes to go. We have an $8,000 challenge on the table. We need to get to $740,000. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. Everybody on a phone, we're going to take a break. We'll actually talk to some of our panelists when we come back. They're still there, I think. We'll be right back after this. Sounds like an episode of Password. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And we are going to have a good discussion, I promise. We're trying to make money, too, though, for the fund drive. And it's very important. We're about $5,300 away from where we need to be. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. And I'm just warning you, don't get mad at us again, but just warning you. At 10 o'clock, we're going to start a new one. So
and
get
ready for that. How much do we have to go, Joe?
Well, let's see. A new total is coming in, but it's $5,073.
$5,073. How much time do we have to do it in?
We have 13 minutes to do it in,
Whoa.
Sir. Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. May I read a letter?
Please
now
do.
Now that you started all of this.
Jeez. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Every once in a while, you got to scratch the itch. Judith Wright says, adding my voice to disagree with the complaining listener. I'm very annoyed, too, by that complaint. I don't blame Alan at all. Yes, it's irksome for you to have to ask for money. But it says here, damn it, you have to. You do it. You succeed and better than ever. What does that, quote, stinker think about anything is worth, for Pete's sake? I feel for him. It's actually, I believe, a her. How many of us, by contrast, love you guys and rely on you as you come into your own now, more now than ever, in this time of protracted crisis, to say nothing of what you raise for so many that need. Love you all a lot, Jude. That makes it worthwhile, right, Joe?
It really does. And there's another one that says that WAMC is a beacon in our troubled land, listeners for years. Keep up the great work. Speaking truth to power, we have your back. And Christine says, Joe, reading the discontented letter, listener's letter, prompted me to get this done sooner than later. So
you knew what you were doing.
Well, that really was, but I just, you know, I was just, as you say, sometimes you have to scratch the itch. Okay. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. We are just about, hey, Alan, we're about $4,000 away. So there you go.
But we don't have that much time.
We
right?
don't. We only have about 11 minutes. All right. So let's bring in our group here. We have a wonderful panel. Thank you for your patience. And I swear to you, you are allowed to speak on this program. You know, we've been talking about this issue of homelessness. It's a problem that obviously has been going on. throughout our country. Obviously, homelessness has been here with us forever. However, the CDC is stressing need for coronavirus testing in homeless shelters. A study of four cities suggested that those living in close quarters and shelters can spread the virus at high rates even when asymptomatic. And it's become a big issue. And we just heard from Mary about how difficult it is to keep these places running and to care for those who are vulnerable in our society when you are in the age of a pandemic. Judith Enck.
Well, I think it's a very real challenge. Unemployment rate is now 14.7%, the worst since the Depression. We are going to see significantly more homelessness. We're going to see significantly more hunger. There was a photo in the Albany Times Union yesterday of a long, long line of cars lining up to get emergency food.
Right.
People have to be in their cars because they need to be distanced. You can't just stop in. And I'm just, you know, grieving for the future. This is going to get much worse. And you listen to federal officials, I'll just say that, federal officials who don't understand that unless you get the virus under control, the economy is just not going to rebound. So I think the issues of homelessness and hunger are going to get significantly worse in the months and years ahead.
And Jim Ketter, your take on this?
Yeah, I think that this ongoing crisis is shining a very bright light on things that we should have been paying closer attention to already: inequality, homelessness, job insecurity, access to health care, the precariousness of people's economic circumstances, so that one major health crisis can bankrupt them and in some cases make them homeless. When Mary was talking about how it affects children, you know, we see here in the Capital District, across the country and around the world, that the place that many children are getting most of their meals is at school.
Right.
And so when school is closed, they're having to find other ways to eat. It's just that simple. Some are lucky enough to be in a place like Mary is running, and many are not. And as Judith said, this is going to get worse rather than better in the near future.
And Joe, if I could just add, I mean, we all need to increase our charitable contributions to the extent we are able, but we need a government response. I mean, in Congress, they are refusing to increase food stamps, now yeah. known as SNAP.
Right.
We need a systemic response because individual charitable giving is not going to be enough.
You know, Alan, that's an interesting point. I just want to, we need about $4,000, and we've got about 7 minutes. So, and we have $8,000 on the challenge. Again, let me just real quick, Jim, I want to get to you.
I'm sorry, Joe, but we've had about 11 letters now on the problem of the letter. Can't read them all, but let me tell you, people are angry.
For every $100 that you donate, we'll focus on the good that we're doing this morning. And for every $100, the Seymour Fox, so the money comes to WAMC. You pledge $100, that comes to us. But what it does do is trigger the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to donate the equivalent, triggers them to provide emergency assistance to a homeless family or a family at serious risk of homelessness. And that's what we're doing this morning. Actually, about $3,500 right now will do it. We have about 6 minutes left. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262.
Please do it at WAMC.org.
WAMC.org. Yes. Jim, you were going to add to what Judith just said.
I just wanted to add, too, about the shift to online education. And, a lot of people are working very hard on that, and some things are going well. But this is another area of great inequality. You know, not everybody has the resources to have a computer or to have a computer for everyone in the family or to have solid and consistent internet connectivity. This is something that my students in Egypt are facing, and I know that it's something that students here in the capital region are facing as well. And I think it's something we have to think more about. If this, you know, as the governor has said, we ought to think about how education is going to be changed going forward as we come out of this crisis. It's not a not something that just happens magically. This really requires thinking about the haves and the have-nots, and how do we address that gap.
You know, that idea of have and have-nots, and Alan, this is a question I was going to ask you just a moment ago, but the idea of, look, we're in a pandemic, we see these numbers coming in of homeless, we see the numbers, obviously, of unemployment, we know that the economy is really, really severely impacted by this, and yet we talk about taking away money for SNAP, and we talk about taking away money for the people who so desperately need it. When we're bailing everyone else out, I realize this is a loaded question, but when we're bailing everybody else out, what sense does it make to do that? I just don't. I guess, and you can even extrapolate it to what the states are asking for in federal money from the states, or from the government, federal money that the states are asking for that they need to keep.
You
the
are
ship
so
afloat.
Right, Joe. And what's more, you know, there's got to be some justice here. Some of these people who are refusing to give children money, or that will feed them, or some clothing, so that everybody gets an even break in the society. Sooner or later, they'll be standing before St. Peter or his equivalent, if you depending on your religion. And
the St. Peter of your choice.
Whoever that person is will be saying, step on the elevator, and then yell, going down.
I know that this is an old playbook, Judith, but it just doesn't make sense that you're helping everyone except for the people who so desperately need it.
Yeah, it is, and it's life and death. I mean, you put aside just the sheer incompetence of the Trump administration response to this, and then you face, okay, how do we deal with all the damage that has been done? And they are consistently irresponsible. And, you know, I'm just sorry to say this, we are heading into a Great Depression. We are in a Great Depression now.
No question. I'm sorry for interrupting. So sorry, Judith, but this is really primary right now. How much is left, Joe?
$1,027. $1,027. We have 2 minutes.
Please excuse me, Judith. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. It just wasn't the best transition. We're heading into a Great Depression.
We need $1,000.
Please write that check. You know, last month.
We can do both.
20.5 million people lost their job. This is going to be really hard. And the economic need is immediate. And the Washington response has been the height of your responsibility.
Okay, I'm so sorry, Judith, but Joe, it's at WAMC.org. Is that how you do it?
WAMC.org, and that is the easiest way, best way to do it. We do have phone lines, 1-800-323-9262.
Now more than ever.
323-WAMC. We need $800 now. $800.
Oh, boy.
1-800-323-9262. We have a minute and 7 seconds. I'm sure if we need it, Ray will give it. No, you won't? Okay, never mind.
Okay, but here's the thing. Everybody, if you're on a phone, if you've dialed the phone, it will count. It will count. Don't figure I got to walk away because it won't connect.
No.
1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org.
I hate to give out this number, but we need $666.
Oh, boy.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262. All right. We have made it. That is the good news. So let us take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We have other things to talk about. We will do that. And so $8,000 of challenge money. We want to thank. Who do we want to thank here? We want to thank Anonymous of Springfield, Massachusetts for the $5,000. We want to thank Tracy Bird from Cobleskill. And David Corkery, your neighbor of New York, New York, and $1,000 from Anonymous, who is a North Country native. Thank you all for your beautiful work this morning. Okay.
That was great.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will do it all over again. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Neller Insurance, Copaic, Valencia, New Lebanon, Chatham. Family-owned, insuring homes, autos, farms, businesses, and lives. Supporting public radio in the Hudson Valley, Berkshires, and Northwest Connecticut. KNellerIns.com. And Abode Farm, New Lebanon, New York. Providing sustainably grown local produce. CSA memberships now available. AbodeFarm.com for more information.
This is Northeast Public Radio, WAMC FM HD 90.3 Albany, WRUN HD 90.3 Remsen Utica, WAMK HD 90.9 Kingston, WOSR HD 91.7 Middletown, WCEL HD 91.9 Plattsburgh, WCAN HD 93.3 Canajoharie, WANC HD 103.9 Ticonderoga, WAMQ HD 105.1 Great Barrington, WWES HD 88.9 Mount Kisco, WANZ HD 90.1 Stamford, WANR 88.5 Brewster, and WAMC AM 1400 Albany.
Support for WAMC comes from BeFair, providing education and at-home services for people with disabilities residing in Berkshire County. Now hiring. More information at BeFair.org.
This is WAMC News. I'm Ray Graff. The U.S. unemployment rate hit 14.7% in April. That's the highest rate since the Great Depression. 20.5 million jobs vanished in the worst monthly loss on record. Almost all the job growth achieved during the 11-year recovery from the Great Recession has now been lost in 1 month. Top Democrats in Washington are promising that smaller cities and towns won't be left behind in the next coronavirus relief bill. Democratic New York Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney says the House is going to push for $1 trillion in funding for schools and police and fire departments in the next round of aid. Hudson Valley correspondent Hank Gross reports.
Maloney brought local police, fire, and EMS top brass together for a Zoom news conference and heard story after story about staffing and program cuts that would occur if Washington did not provide the necessary funding to localities. He said he was infuriated.
We'd be bad enough if they just didn't vote for it. But to say some of the things they've said, like this is some blue state bailout, when the state of New York sends $29 billion every single year, more to Washington than we get back. So tell me who's getting bailed out. It is those very states whose senators and whose politicians are resisting this money, who open their greedy hands every year and take New York taxpayer dollars for all the things they want to do in their communities.
For WAMC in the Hudson Valley, I'm Hank Gross.
Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker said Thursday the state's contact tracing program has so far contacted more than 14,000 individuals with confirmed cases of COVID-19 and reached out to more than 7,500 of their contacts since the program launched on April 12th. The northeastern U.S. is about to get a cold spring farewell from winter's bad boy, the polar vortex. Could bring rare May snowfall and record low temperatures to some areas over the Mother's Day weekend. The National Weather Service says a low pressure system off the coast of southern New England is pulling cold air down from the north. Current forecasts call for perhaps as much as 2 inches of snow in the Berkshires and other parts of western Massachusetts on Friday into Saturday. Rain with some flakes possible in New York City and Boston. Massachusetts has not had measurable snow in May since 2002. On Wall Street, the Dow up 337 at 24,213. NASDAQ up 81 at 9,061. Some sun this morning, but clouds are rolling in. Showers developing late afternoon, highs in the 50s. Cloudy with rain and wet snow tonight. Most locations, a slushy coating up to an inch. Of elevations above 500 feet could see 1 to 3 inches of snow. Overnight lows in the 30s. Mostly cloudy, windy, cold tomorrow, passing rain and or snow showers. Highs tomorrow in the 40s. At last report, mostly cloudy, 42 in Oneonta, New York. Cloudy, 43 in Colchester, Vermont. Partly cloudy, 51 in Springfield, Massachusetts. Partly cloudy, 50 degrees in Albany. More WAMC News at noon with Jim Lavoulis and Midday Magazine.
Support for WAMC comes from Epigraph Publishing Service, Rhinebeck, New York, providing authors with custom and on-demand publishing services for all types of books, including editing, design, printing, marketing, and distribution. EpigraphPS.com. And Lori Ilvesacker, Coldwell Banker, Village Green Realty, Woodstock, specializing in the greater Woodstock, Saugerties, and Stone Ridge markets, and serving both buyers and sellers of homes and land. 845-901-6129.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. We're doing many things this morning. One is raising money for incredible we're raising money for WAMC, but we're also helping amazing organizations in our region and the terrific work they do. We're also joined by a wonderful panel and talking about the news of the day. We'll be getting to your letters in a little bit, I promise you. And we're switching gears. We made our goal, which is fantastic. We want to thank both the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation and also Family Promise of the Capital Region, and to Mary Giordano, Executive Director of Family Promise. And they were wonderful, and we thank them so much. And that was just really, really terrific. Everybody came in, and it was just amazing what everybody did. So we thank you for that. All right. So next up this hour, I told you we would do something different for this hour, and we certainly are. And this is also gets us to the point of what both Judith and Jim were talking about a few moments ago. And that was, even when we were talking with Mary about children. And what we're doing is the Boys and Girls Club of the Capital Area is really picking up a lot of, as Jim mentioned earlier, about schools where so many of kids get their food from school, and with schools closed, that's difficult. And so the Boys and Girls Club of the Capital Area is helping that. And what we're doing this morning is, for every $100 pledge to WAMC, the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation will donate the equivalent of 10 meals for a child in need through the Boys and Girls Club of the Capital Area. So think of that. 10 children, 10 meals for a child that can take place for your donation. That's really an amazing thing. And we're going to talk a little bit about it. But Alan, I know you have some good news as far as something that you heard during the break. So I'll let you share that with us.
Can I just say, I love our listeners, and I love our generous people who can do a little bit extra, who are always making it clear that they want to do something extra. They don't want credit for it. So, for example, and it's quite an example because we never see this, we just received a challenge, or I just received a challenge for $14,000, if we can make this in this hour. That's a lot of money, folks. $14,000 from Anonymous from New York, New York. That's $14,000. Now, we have a lot to do here, that is incredible. And a couple of other things. Number one, I want to thank you, Joe, for playing that music, or Zach or whoever was playing it. I have to say, there's nothing better than tuba music in the world.
Yes, so, Westerlies, and courtesy of Mike Bowen this morning, yes.
Well, Mike Bowen, and I got to say, there's nothing better than a tuba. Okay, then the other question I have is, okay, gang, you've made yourself clear on the letter writer from earlier. Hold your letters. Hold them. It's enough now. If it accompanies some extra money, that's fine. But we get the picture. You're really ticked off, and I don't blame you. I was ticked off too. But enough. Let's let it go.
We're over it now. 1-800.
We're supposed to be over it now. Yeah. Okay.
Well, outwardly, we're
okay. So now, look, folks. We only have about what?
50 minutes.
50 minutes.
Yeah.
To make this $25,000. Is that right, Joe?
Correct.
And Anonymous from New York, New York will give us 14 grand, $14,000, or as Ray Graff often puts it, 14 large ones.
That's right. It's an amazing amount of money, and we thank you very much for that. Okay, so again, for every $100 donated over this next hour, for $100 donated, the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation will donate the equivalent of 10 meals for a child in need through the Boys and Girls Club of the Capital Area. To tell us more about their work, we go to Justin Reuter. He is Chief Executive Officer of Boys and Girls Clubs of the Capital Area. Justin, I'm reading your name as if it were the news service, but is that correct in its pronunciation?
Justin Reuter.
Reuter, so it's not. So it's Reuters.
No, a little different.
Okay, all right. Well, I apologize.
Oh, come on, come on, come on. I know his brother Reuter.
Watch it, Alan. Well, Justin, it's really nice to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us. Give us a sense.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's really a delight to have you. Give us a sense of the need of what you're seeing right now, because with schools closed and all of that, of what that means for what you're doing.
We've seen a tremendous need. You know, once the pandemic started, I think it was a little bit of a panic by everyone to figure out what the challenges were going to be once schools closed and childcare providers had to close as well. So normally during the school year, our organization serves 1,100 dinners each day in all of our after-school programs. So we knew that once schools closed, food access is going to be a major challenge for youth and families throughout the Capital Region. So about 2 days after the closure of schools, we said we have to shift what we're doing, and we're going to go out there and we're going to bring meals right to the kids rather than having them come to us. So we created a mobile meal service, and right now we're serving food at 12 locations in Albany and Troy. And it's just amazing. We've seen the need grow every single week. On the first day, we actually served 425 meals. And this past week, we are up to 13,000 meals a week. So it's grown tremendously over time. You know,
that's
as
unbelievable.
The pandemic carries on.
Did you say 13,000? Is that what you just said?
13,000 meals
that's
a week
fantastic.
Right now.
That's fantastic. That's great.
Yep. Yeah. So the what we're talking about this morning is, for every donation of $100, the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation will make the funds available for the equivalent of 10 meals for a child in need through the Boys and Girls Club of the Capital Area. So give us an idea of what that's like, of how the typical child would utilize that.
You know, as we know, a lot of the families that we're serving right now and throughout the Capital Region struggle with food insecurity. Some live in, you know, what is assumed to be food deserts. So getting to like a grocery store is challenging just on a normal day. But right now, you know, with social distancing and everything and utilizing public transportation, that becomes even more difficult for families. So by, you know, taking in this money and giving these children food right to their front door, you know, they don't have to leave their house. They don't have to worry about getting sick or getting somebody else sick. So it's just making a tremendous difference. We're filling a void that's out there. You know, there's other organizations that are also providing food. When we're combining all of our efforts, we're ensuring that the Capital Region's not going hungry.
Just those words, we're ensuring that the Capital Region isn't going hungry, and there is such need. We were talking about, Judith was talking earlier about the pictures of the cars lined up of people getting food that they so desperately need, and that's in our region, you know, that there are so many people who are in desperate need. When you talk about the need going up, I guess I'm interested of how you even plan for what the future is going to look like and as an organization of what you do.
So in the beginning, you know, our focus was, since we normally serve meals to youth, we said, okay, we got to serve meals to youth. And then as time has gone on, we've had many adults asking us for food as well. So we're providing, you know, food for youth and the adults that ask for it. We try to do our best to plan ahead. You know, we usually get maybe a couple hundred meals added every couple days. We try to order out a couple days in advance, prepare extra meals for that certain day in case we have more walk-ups or more people asking for us. So we're doing our best. You know, it is tough. Actually, next Friday, we're going to surpass 100,000 meals served since the pandemic started. And I just, you know, I want to give a shout out to the team of volunteers from the community and all of our staff members that are, you know, doing this hard work out in the cold weather or the rain. Some of them, it's a complete change of what they normally do. So we're just lucky to have such a great team that's helping us make this happen.
Yeah, bless them. How do you keep them safe?
So we've instituted a lot of safety activities, such as, you know, everybody's got to wear gloves, everybody's got to wear a mask, do our best to social distance. If they're, you know, if a volunteer or a staff member isn't feeling well, we tell them to stay home until, you know, their symptoms get better, providing, you know, mental health services. So, you know, if somebody, you know, this is a tough time for everybody, right? It's not just people working at the Boys and Girls Club. So through New York State, we can have access to free mental health services. So we're just trying to be safe and at the same time, you know, take care of these families. But, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's definitely challenging. One change that we made, which helped a lot in the beginning, a lot of families were walking up to the table to get their food, which was hard to social distance. So we surveyed them, and now we're able to kind of deliver it with, you know, we don't have to, it's less touch and less interaction at this point. So the chances of getting COVID have diminished quite a bit.
We, right now, Alan, need $19,612. We have about about 43 minutes to do it in. And we have how much challenge? This is amazing. How much?
$14,000 wow. From one person in New York, New York. That's a great deal of money.
Yes, it is.
Putting it up and saying, look, you know, this is our region. We are making this happen. And I want to do my part, and is doing the part that should be done. I mean, I'm just incredibly grateful to him.
We're in the 18,000s, and we need you. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org.
180 people to feed kids. 180 people.
You know, it's amazing, Justin, you mentioned that you served 425 meals in the first week and are now serving 13,000 each week. I mean, that just tells us... I mean, do you sense that you're even meeting the need? It's just scratching, isn't it? It's the surface.
It's definitely meeting the needs of the locations that we're in. But, you know, like I said, all across the capital region through, you know, Boys and Girls Clubs and food banks and food pantries, everybody is working hard to make sure people are fed. And, you know, as this continues on, I think it's only going to become ever more challenging for our families. You know, it is not just a problem here. It's a problem across the country, throughout the world. So we have a close eye on it. We have capacity to serve even more meals than we're serving right now. With the proper, you know, volunteer support and funding, we can continue to expand our program.
This is, I will admit, this is a very much an Alan Chartok question, but what keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night is, you know, a lot of youth at home right now, youth and teens.
Yeah.
You know, some might not have the best family life, or some, you know, just miss school, miss being with their friends and socializing. And, you know, I can't imagine, for example, if I was like a senior in high school right now and the back part of my senior year I spent at home and I didn't get to cherish that time with my friends. So just thinking about our kids, and, you know, it's such a change for them. You know, it's one thing to be an adult and shift and work from home or what have you, but just a kid to not be able to see your friends and have to deal with the challenges of being mostly inside all day, it's really difficult.
And on top of that, having the financial challenges as well as food insecurity. We're in the 17,000s. Justin, I want to thank you so much for being with us and explaining to us what's going on. We're going to try to do you proud here over the next 41 minutes. And just thank you so much for the beautiful work you're doing in the community. Our thanks to Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, and thanks to all your volunteers and your team for doing the great work in the community.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Justin Reuter is Chief Executive Officer of Boys and Girls Club of the Capital Region. Thank you very much. Very nice to have you. Thank you. All right. We need $17,492. $17,492 is what we need.
Not going to be easy, Joe. 174 people right now got to get to a phone. As soon as you can do it, we'll be saved, I tell you.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262.
$14,000, $14,000 if we can do this. Amazing. From one person.
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. So, right, we need $17,000 to make the $14,000, and we have until 11 o'clock to do it. All right, let's get to some issues in the news. There's a lot going on, and I want to talk to you all about it. I guess I can just say two words, give you a name, and let you go nuts with it. Jim Ketterer, what do you make of Michael Flynn's of the Michael Flynn affair?
Well, you know, I think it's useful for us to remind ourselves of all the many things that were and have been swirling around Michael Flynn. This is a guy who was for 24 days, the shortest tenure ever, the national security advisor to the president, an incredibly sensitive position. The person closest physically and otherwise to the president as an advisor on national security issues. He was also the main advisor to the campaign. And as we know, the intelligence community came up with an assessment following the 2016 elections.
Okay. I think
I think I did that.
But we'll get we'll get Jim back, I promise.
What'd you do that for?
Yeah. It was trying to get our other guest, our previous guest.
Our original letter writer, Joe, has written a letter. This is a good time to read it.
Oh, dear.
To be clear, I am not a jackass. I'm thrilled to pieces that you are near your goal. If nothing else, the pandemic has proven the need for solid information. I also admire the partnerships with nonprofit organizations like Family Promise. I just think the messaging around the fund drive has not been clear. One final note, perhaps I was needlessly harsh. Perhaps I didn't follow my own advice and try to give people the benefit of the doubt in a difficult time. By the way, a close relative works in underwriting for a public radio station. I'm well aware of the challenges.
Right.
There you go.
Well, thank you very much. That's very nice.
That's very nice. Sweet.
That's we appreciate that. Thank you very much. All right. We've all made up. All right, we got Jim back. Jim, that's my fault. I accidentally hung up on you. My apologies.
Well, you know, I'm used to it, Joe. I've been hung up by many, so just join the club.
All right.
It does strike me that when I was mentioning Russian meddling, suddenly the line went dead.
Yeah.
I wanted to just mention one other thing, if I have time.
Yes, sir.
Because the timing is important on this. After these sanctions were levied, then the next day, Michael Flynn, now in this presidential transition period, gets on the phone with the Russian ambassador to the United States, Ambassador Kislyak, and basically says, don't worry, we're going to be in office soon. We'll handle this, and please don't overreact to it so we have the flexibility to do so. Then when questioned by the FBI and the vice president, Pence, as to whether he did this or not, he lied. He pled guilty twice to lying to the FBI. And now we get to this point, we see now yesterday, where the Department of Justice decides to drop the case. Michael Flynn also was fired as director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. He and his son were at the center of promoting this Pizzagate theory that said that Hillary Clinton and John Podesta were running a child sex trafficking ring out of a pizzeria in Northwest Washington, D.C. And he also served as a paid lobbyist to one of our very difficult allies, Turkey, during the campaign and right up to Election Day. There's a lot swirling around this guy, and now he's off the hook. It's really astounding.
What makes your brain hurt is that he pled guilty twice. Like, it's not like there's any, you know, it's, did you do it? Yeah, I did it. Okay. And then they drop the case. There is a former federal prosecutor, Julie O'Sullivan, who now teaches criminal law at Georgetown University, who's quoted in the New York Times article of saying, I've been practicing for more time than I care to admit. I've never seen anything like this, which I guess, Judith, is a phrase that we've heard more times in the last 3.5 years than we care to admit.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I think Jim did a great job giving us the history. This all started because Obama imposed sanctions for Russia interfering in our elections. And remember, this is what former Assistant Attorney General Sally Yates went to the White House about, to say that Flynn is compromised. It's really astonishing. Bill Barr, it has done more damage to the integrity of the U.S. Department of Justice than any other sitting attorney general. It's clear that he's there just to procure special treatment for the president's friends and political allies. And the twisted logic here is really something. Department of Justice says, yes, Flynn did admit to lying to the FBI and other misdeeds, but it wasn't material. What that means is prosecutors do have a lot of discretion in figuring out what's material and what isn't. So, you know, if I lie about what I had for lunch today, all right, I didn't have the salad, I had the BLT. That is a lie. And but it doesn't really matter. But what Flynn lied about really does matter. So this goes to the very heart of our legal system. I will point out that Department of Justice said they were declining to proceed with prejudice, which means that they reserve the right to open it up in the future. And if there is a new president elected in November, the statute of limitations on this case does not expire until March of 2022. And I know that incumbent presidents don't like to look back, but I'm sure Flynn is popping the champagne corks and probably not even recycling those champagne bottles. I'm sure he's not a recycler. But
had to get that in, didn't you?
It's the worst I could say. But it may not last until, you know, March 2022 passes.
By the way, Joe, I gotta say that I think Judith is right on the money here. The real issue to me is who's above the law in this country. And what we have is an incredible attorney general who stands up, raises his hand, says he's going to be honest and straightforward, and then does this terrible thing. Because it really comes down to the Attorney General of the United States, Mr. Barr. If anybody ever had any doubt of who or what he is, this is the proof.
And he did a similar thing with Roger Stone. He reduced the recommended sentencing. Who knows what might happen in the future with Manafort? I mean, Bill Barr is just in uncharted water here. And, you know,
I thought you were going to say something else. I mean, it's not only that he's in uncharted water, he's terrible. I mean, this is a terrible man.
Yes, yes.
I think I also heard that the president said he would be open to hiring Flynn for other jobs.
Right
now, in the wake of this decision,
right.
And as Judith said, you know, the finding that Flynn was compromised. You know, this is not a minor thing. This is one of the most sensitive and important national security positions in our government. To have somebody in that position who's even remotely compromised and is exercising consistent bad judgment is deeply dangerous. And I would also say we regularly ask our ambassadors around the world to go and remind and lecture other governments about following the rule of law. How can we do that in good conscience?
Absolutely.
In any possible way.
We have to go to a break, but I just want to, real quick, we need 13,000 $13,000 to make a $14,000 challenge. We have a half hour to do it in. 1-800-323-9262 or online, the preferred way, online, WAMC.org. WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Well, good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. We've come a long way this morning. We need $12,591 to make a $14,000 goal and or challenge, I should say. A $14,000 challenge. Our goal is to make the $12,591. Remember, for every $100 that you give to WAMC, that money comes to us, but it triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to donate the equivalent of 10 meals for a child in need through the Boys and Girls Club of the Capital Area. These folks are all doing God's work right now and helping feeding people who are in desperate need. We want to help them, and this is something that would not be happening if it wasn't for us doing this right now. So just think about that, and think about the kids that we can help, and think about supporting your radio station and bringing that all together. $100 comes to us. That triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to donate the equivalent of 10 meals for a child in need through the Boys and Girls Club of the Capital Area. And we need right now $12,291. Alan, I know you have some comments. Are you there, Alan? We may have lost Alan.
No, when the guy is mowing the lawn next door, we're at home, of course, I turned down my microphone. So as soon as the mowing is over, I turn it up.
No, I understand. That's fine.
Don't you get it? Okay.
Yeah.
Don't you see?
Go okay. See if the mowing guy wants to give us $100 to help kids.
The mowing guy already gave us $1,000.
Oh, okay. All right. Good.
I believe. I'm just based on what I'm hearing.
All right. That's cool. Okay. Good. Go ahead.
Okay. Here's three. Already a sustaining member. Here's some membership for some folks who can't afford it. It's outrageous that children go hungry in our America, and outrageous that our government works hard to keep us in the dark. Thank you for keeping the lights on. We'll get through this. Anonymous from Oneonta, New York. Then in capital letters, I'm always impressed by that. In
yes.
honor of my daughter, Samantha, first time donation. I think this is such a great program, serves a great need for true information, hosts are informative. And that's where Anonymous of Amherst, Massachusetts. Have I ever told you, Joe, how I love Amherst, Massachusetts?
Love Amherst, Massachusetts. Yeah.
And then here is Erica from Adams, Massachusetts, who writes, I find WAMC invaluable. It's an amazing station. I'm in Massachusetts, and I get my best Massachusetts news from WAMC. Erica from Adams, Massachusetts. I think that's true. We have two wonderful correspondents, bureau chiefs over here in Massachusetts who are doing a terrific job, Erica, and I appreciate that feedback. I live here, too, and I got to tell you, I couldn't agree with you more. It's just terrific.
All right, so we are. Let's see, about 24 minutes left in our time frame. We have an amazing from New York. We have a $14,000 challenge, which is really an incredible amount of money. And
think how much you have, Joe. Think how much you have to love WAMC to put up $14,000. I don't care who you are. It's amazing.
It really is. And right now we need $11,000. So $11,000 will do it. And don't forget, every $100 given to WAMC, the Boys and Girls Club of the Capital Area will provide 10, will give 10 meals to a child in need. So the money comes to WAMC. The Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation will donate the equivalent of 10 meals for a child in need through the Boys and Girls Club of the Capital Area. And we have a $14,000 challenge on the table.
How many opportunities are there, Joe?
There is, so right now we have 113, right? So there you go.
113 opportunities to feed young people. What a thing.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262. We've made all of our challenges. Please don't let us down on this one. Okay.
$14,000. You know, that's a lot of money. Joe, I remember the days when if we got a $1,000 challenge, it was extraordinary. I mean, it was unusual. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, WAMC is worth $3 a day. We can give $1,000. We can do it as sustaining members. We can do it over time. But we can do it because it's worth it. Hey, I paid over $350. Roselle and I paid over $350 Just with the Berkshire Eagle, and we're not comparing the products. I don't want to get into that, but we're
No, skip that. Yeah. 1-800-323-9262. $11,000. We only have 22 minutes to do it in. Hurry, please, and help the children, feed the children, and please do that. 1-800-323-9262. And, oh, by the way, we have a $14,000 challenge that we won't get unless we make it by 11 o'clock this
morning.
How much
morning. Do we have to go?
$11,000. $11,124 wow. to be exact. But,
isn't
okay.
that what you just said?
Yeah. Painfully.
Come on, everybody. Move it.
Painfully it is. Okay, so here we go. Next item up for bids is White House ramps up internal coronavirus measures after the Trump's valet tests positive. The White House rapidly increased testing for those around President Trump Thursday after a staffer whose job potentially put him in close daily contact with the president had tested positive for the novel coronavirus. It's the president's closest known contact with an infected person since the early days of the U.S. response to the pandemic. COVID-19 has killed more than 75,000 people in the United States, with around 1.2 million people, million confirmed cases, according to tracking by the Washington Post. President Trump in recent weeks has sought to block or downplay information about the severity of the coronavirus pandemic as he urges a return to normalcy. Social media companies, including YouTube and Facebook, are removing a viral conspiracy theory video because it claims regarding the coronavirus pandemic. And we also have found out that the Food and Drug Administration approved a new diagnostic tool that employs a gene editing technology to determine in just 1 hour if someone is infected with a novel coronavirus. And this all on top of the news that we had mentioned that, 33 million Americans have lost their jobs during the outbreak. And a new poll finds that 77% of them believe they will get them back when the crisis is over. Optimism is high, but economists warn over 40% of job losses could become permanent. That's a really stunning number. Jim Ketter, what do you make of that?
Well, the consistent effort from the top to downplay the severity of the virus's impact really is noteworthy. I'm trying to come up with another word for it. I know that it's a constant refrain from the president and from his supporters that, well, the numbers may not be accurate. It may be that people are really dying of something else, and so therefore we really can't include it in these numbers. And to just kind of withhold information in the midst of a crisis, I think is the kind of the most crass kind of politics, and is probably one of the the classic mistakes one can make in the middle of managing an emergency.
Judith.
Well, it's not surprising that when it affects Trump personally, suddenly it's red alert time. And he apparently now will be tested every day. But average Americans are not tested every day. There is still a tremendous testing shortage. Not enough progress on contact tracing, and very little discussion by the president on the vaccine. CDC screwed up the initial testing, and so they've been essentially silenced, which is highly unusual during a health emergency. I mean, health emergencies in other countries like Ebola, you have CDC in the lead. Here, there are not regular briefings by CDC. There are media reports that they've prepared, and I read, the New York Times had a link to this. They have interim guidance on if businesses are to reopen, the procedures that they should follow, and the White House is trying to block the release of that. And I think it's pretty clear what's going on is the president does not want to make hard decisions, and he doesn't want to make decisions that are linked to bad news. And this whole situation is bad news. And so he will not, at least for now, allow the release of CDC guidelines on reopening because he wants governors to make the hard decisions. And he wants governors to be blamed when things inevitably don't go as well as we would like them to go. So I think the fact that he now is focused just on his own testing and not every citizen of a non-citizen of this country is, you know, par for the course.
It's
I don't want him to get coronavirus, but I don't want anyone to get coronavirus.
It's par for the course, but it's just mind-boggling when you're trying to stifle the information from the CDC during a pandemic, isn't it? I mean, I can't get over that.
Your own CDC.
Right, your own CDC. That's exactly right.
Yeah. It is unprecedented, and it is costing lives. I mean, Trump did not create the virus, but he could not be handling it worse. And so many more people have died and will die because of his desire to get reelected. I mean, it's this witch's brew. It's his self-serving political interest combined with complete incompetence in his administration. I mean, does anyone really think Jared Kushner is going to get us out of this mess? And so these two influences, politically self-serving decisions and incompetence, is literally resulting in tens of thousands of more people suffering and dying than would have happened if we had a competent person in the Oval Office.
Alan, we have $8,159 to go. It's a lot of money in 16 minutes, but we have a $14,000 challenge at stake. If we make the 8,100, we get it. If we don't, we don't. So
perhaps you can hear Murray, who is really upset about the whole thing, barking his head off and saying, come on, everybody, let's move. I mean, after all, he did learn how to speak English at the Literacy Network of South Berkshire. He's one of the few dogs, if not the only dog in the world, who
brilliant.
Did that.
Brilliant, so, yes.
Incredible.
Well. Yeah. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. $7,300 is what we need to make the money. $7,300 to make $14,000 and bring us very close to the $800,000 point in the fund drive, as we'll get this amazing amount of money of $14,000. Okay, so $7,349. We're just going to go through one more. Actually, let's take a break right now. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do our last gasp here. We'll make the $7,349.
Hopefully.
We'll continue. I'm being positive. We'll make the $7,349. We will get the $14,000 challenge. We will talk more about what's going on in the news with our wonderful panel, and we'll be back right after this. Will we lose a $14,000 challenge over $6,900? That's the question that we have immediately. We have 13 minutes to do it in. 1-800-323-9262. For every $100 that you pledge right now, the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, you give the money to us, to WAMC. That money comes to us and goes to help run this radio station. It triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to donate the equivalent of 10 meals for a child in need through the Boys and Girls Club of the Capital Area. We heard from Justin Reuter earlier, the CEO of the Boys and Girls Club, about the need, the tremendous need that they have right now during this pandemic, and that they're expecting to continue as these numbers just skyrocket as far as unemployment and joblessness, food insecurity, and homelessness. So whatever you can do right now is really, obviously there's great need in the community, and whatever we can do right now is so vitally important. Alan, I know you have some comments. I'll let you find those, and we'll go to that if you're ready, and if not, I'll go to something else and we can come back. But
what did you want? I just dropped out, Joe.
I'm sorry. We were and I was saying all those nice things. We need about $4,500, and I didn't know if you. I thought you may have some comments to read.
Well, I always have things to do when you tell me to, so I'm going to do it. And believe me, I will do that. As soon as I write in the word amber. See, if you write in amber at the top, comments at 10:30, that's us. Okay. So, already a sustaining member, here's some memberships for folks who can't afford it. I did that already, didn't I? Yeah, it's outrageous that children go hungry in America.
Yeah, that we did that.
Outrageous that our government, that we did that. So,
oh, maybe that is, okay.
Any more?
All right.
I said amber comments at 10:30. Already a sustaining.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, yeah, we did those.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's all right, no problem.
I'll let you down.
No, I think I didn't know that we did those. That's fine. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262. What remains the important takeaway... That's right. The important takeaway is our goal is $780,000, and we are at $775,941. And this is my way of doing math while I'm talking. And we need $4,059. $4,059. We have 10 minutes, and we have a $14,000 challenge.
So that means 45 people, 50 people, actually.
Well, 40 people. 40 people.
40 people.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. So sorry. You know, my math is even worse than yours. And I want to make sure we do this because there's a 14. Get that. I want you to listen. $14,000 on the table if we can do this from Anonymous of New York City. I don't want to let him down. Hey, if we let him down this time, do you think he's ever going to give us the money again? Probably not.
Well, that's a great point. I had never thought of that. That's a really good point.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. All right. So we are $3,600 away. We have 9 minutes to do it in and a $14,000 challenge.
9 minutes?
Nine minutes.
That's impossible.
Nothing is impossible. $3,600 is what we
need.
You're
so right.
$3,600. Somebody, 36 people will come together, or one person, or two people. It'll happen. I know it. 1-800-323-9262.
It won't be one person. It won't be one person, I can tell you that. It's everybody pulling the chain here together. We can do it. We can do it.
And again, a reminder, every $100 that you donate, the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, the money comes to us. The $100 comes to us, but it triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to donate the equivalent of 10 meals for child in need through the Boys and Girls Club of the Capital District. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. And it really, you know, doing this work with the Seymour Fox Foundation, as well as these amazing groups, you know, we're helping so many people and making money for this radio station. And it's quite a twofer. Right now, we need $2,319. $2,319. We're getting close, but we need you. 1-800-323-9262. Alan, now I believe there are comments there for you.
Okay, I'm going to look right now because that's what life is all about.
It's a box of chocolates, and when you look inside of them, there are comments.
The only thing I have is 10:30, and that's the one I read before. Let's cancel this out and see, and I'm going to write in Amber again. Amber is the magic word, Amber. Okay, comment 10:48, aha!
The password is Amber. Yes.
This is my second pledge. Sorry, it can't be more. It's part of my unemployment check. This is a little hard. Just received on. And Alan, can you please explain to Andrew that he must become president in 2024? Thanks. Best for Elizabeth and Wasay.
Explain that to him, Alan.
Well, there may be a little bit of a problem here, folks, and that is I don't want anybody to think that Andrew should be 2024 because Biden's going to lose. I don't think he will. I think Biden is going to win, but maybe he'll be a one-term president, and then maybe 2024. Okay, and then thank you, Alan and Joe. I've been in Albany for 30 years. You're doing an amazing job. Love when Judith is on the panel. Thomas of Del Mar, New York. And we've been listening to WAMC for 21 years and are much better for it. We love the station and keep it tuned in all day on our smartphones wherever we travel. Don't know what we would do without you folks. It's still possible. Please include this donation for the homeless. And that's Scott of New York. And let me just say in response to don't know what we would do without you folks. Hey, we don't know what we would do without you. It's that simple.
We have some letters. I haven't gotten to many of those, so we'll just go through the letters here real quick. We need about $2,500 to make it, and we have a $14,000 goal. We have about 6 minutes to do it in, so here we go. Andy writes, hey, panel, wondering whatever happened to John Bolton's book. Is that on the nightstand? I believe the publication, like many books, I don't think it's any nefarious plot. I think many publishers have put off their big books because it's the best time to sell a book is not during a pandemic.
It's still going. It's still going through White House censorship. That, it hasn't been signed off on.
There.
Yeah, June 23rd is when it's coming out. Yeah, go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
Anybody who works there and or those kinds of positions in the U.S. government has to go through pre-publication review.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was always a little unclear as to whether or not he did that. Aside from, you know, whatever we think about the administration, this is a longstanding regulation. So it may also, I think the last I saw, that it was either going into for the first time or going back into this internal review process.
And he submitted it in late December, but they have not signed off on it going out yet. Okay. So kind of suspicious.
Alan?
And by the way, this is the United States of America, and we don't always, our minds aren't always sharply focused on the latest casualties in the Trump administration. So the longer they wait, the less people will remember who John Bolton was. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay, real quick. We're $1,300 away from where we need to be. 1-800-323-9262. We have 5 minutes, so we can't panic yet.
I'm panicking.
Rick writes, of course, you're only telling half of the Flynn story. More to come. Isn't Comey on the record saying that he set Flynn up? There is talk about making Flynn FBI director. I think we did talk about that, actually.
Would anybody be surprised if they did that? I wouldn't.
Despite all the reporting, I still have one particular friend among a few on Facebook who insists that Flynn was entrapped. The FBI is out of control, that I'm blind, that I refuse to see it his way, and that there's another scathing report and indictments coming and the FBI is in trouble. Who is feeding this nonsense to otherwise intelligent people?
Trump said this morning that the head of the FBI, Chris Wray, is on thin ice. So keep your eyes on what happens to the head of the FBI, a Trump appointee and a buddy of Chris Christie's.
And we never got to Bridgegate, which is unbelievable because the Supreme Court unanimously said two or three, I want to use a certain adjective, but I don't think I should, who were convicted, easy for you to say, who were convicted are off the hook. Unbelievable. People could be dying. Pregnant women could be in that traffic jam. And the court says, we don't believe that the law was followed here.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we have made our goal.
Yeah.
Hey. we've made it. I just want to tell you, this is it's been an amazing morning. So I have to do some quick math, which I think we've already proven to the world I'm not good at. But right now in the lockbox, we have $786,871. If you add $14,000 to that from anonymous of NYNY, you have $800,871 in the lockbox.
Whoa.
There you go. That was today. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC or WAMC.org. Jim and Judith, I know you're certainly a lot less than normal, and I thank you for your patience and being with us and being so understanding. I'm pretty sure we'll be back to normal next week, and I thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being with us. Thank you. Also to Alan, thank you, of course, and we'll do this again on Monday. How about it?
Indeed, we will. We'll be back. And everybody, you know, you can do your share. You can do your part. We'd love to hear from you. Put something in WAMC.org. We'd love to hear it, or send it to 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206.
12206. That's right. 1-800-323-9262. Alan, have a great weekend. We'll be back right after this.